welcome to this edition of the Fireside Bookshelf. Join our host Ginger Green as she opens doors to the literary world, both past and present, featuring some of the best Christian books pertinent to believers and their pursuit of biblical truth. Each week, she will discuss selected resources which have touched her heart and life, with a hope they will enhance your study of the Scriptures and encourage you in your spiritual walk. From foundational Christian truths, to marriage and parenting, to understanding the times we live in, Ginger has assembled some amazing Christian authors, and each week we'll explore their works, all designed to help us grow in grace and knowledge in Jesus Christ. And now for today's presentation.
People call me a bookworm, a book nerd, a voracious reader. Really fancy people call me a bibliophile. But no matter what you call me, it's the truth. I love books, and I love to read. It took a while to convince me that I might actually like a Kindle. I was a wee bit skeptical of moving into the digital world when it came to my books and reading. Today I've successfully integrated the two worlds, one of paper and one of downloads. I still prefer actual books to the digital kind, but I've come to appreciate what each brings to my world of reading, and ultimately, that's the point. There's a t-shirt I own with the slogan, "I read and I know things. That's what I do." And that pretty much sums me up. But for many, reading is more like a day in agony than a day of ecstasy. Too often, after counseling someone, I've recommended a book to them for further study, and they've replied, "I really don't like to read." Unfortunately, if you want to become a disciple of Christ and not a mere convert, if you want the Word of God to become truly real in your life, you're going to have to develop a lifestyle of reading and studying the Bible. So come be a part as we join Howard and William Hendricks on one of the greatest adventures of your life, the journey through Scripture, with their classic, Living by the Book. Howard and William will show us that in the Bible you can interact with the living God who wants a personal relationship with you, and no special skills are needed. Living by the Book will help you engage God's Word like never before. In simple, step-by-step fashion, you'll learn to observe, interpret, and apply. In the book's foreword, Chuck Swindoll, a one-time student of Howard's, writes this: "Living by the Book gives you a framework for studying the Bible at your own pace. I know nothing quite like it today. If you will digest these pages and put the suggestions to use, I guarantee you will soon be living by the book, not just listening to others teach it." You see, Howard writes, a lot of people nowadays are making all kinds of claims about what the Bible supposedly teaches, claims that simply aren't true. A closer inspection of Scripture reveals that the Bible doesn't, in fact, say what they say it does. Likewise, there are a lot of things that the Bible does teach that many people don't even know about, because those truths are de-emphasized or ignored altogether. The result is that much of our culture has embraced what might be called folk religion, popular belief based on misconceptions, misinterpretations, stereotypes, sentimentality, and downright wishful thinking. But that is not authentic Christianity. The only way to experience authentic Christianity is through first-hand acquaintance with the Word of God. Don't just let a friend or a DVD or a blog tell you what the Bible says. Read and study it for yourself. If you do, you will gain an authority from your personal ownership of Scripture that will stabilize and direct your life, even if the people around you are lost in a fog of spiritual confusion. Howard shares that shortly after he became a Christian, someone wrote in the flyleaf of his Bible these words, "This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book." That was true then, and it is still true today. Dusty Bibles always lead to dirty lives. In fact, you are either in the Word, and the Word is conforming you to the image of Jesus Christ, or you are in the world, and the world is squeezing you into its mold. The great tragedy among Christians today, Howard notes, is that too many of us are under the Word of God, but not in it for ourselves. There's no question that believers need to sit under the teaching of God's Word, but that ought to be a stimulus, not a substitute, for getting into the Word ourselves. There are an endless number of reasons why people do not study the Bible. Howard asks, which ones apply to you? Do you question the Bible's relevance to real-life issues? Are you locked out of the process by lack of technique and basic skills? Are you convinced that the Bible takes special training to understand? Is Bible study a low priority or no priority with so many other demands on your time? Do you have doubts about the Bible's reliability? Do you perceive Bible study as dreadfully boring and not worth your attention? If you identify with any of these reasons, then this book is for you. Living by the Book addresses all of these issues and more. Now, having asked the question why people don't study the Bible, let's turn around and ask, why should we study the Bible? What difference will it make in my life? Howard suggests three benefits you can expect when you invest in a study of God's Word, which are unavailable anywhere else. And frankly, he tells us, they are not luxuries, but necessities. Howard provides three passages of Scripture that conspire to build a convincing case on why we must study the Bible, why it is not an option, it's essential. The first passage is found in 1 Peter 2:2. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Howard gives us three words to help unpack the truth contained in this passage. The first one is attitude. Peter is describing the attitude of a newborn baby. The baby has to have milk to sustain his life physically. You have to have the Scriptures to sustain your life spiritually. He also says a word about your appetite for the Word. You should long for it, he says. You are to crave the spiritual milk of God's Word. Which brings us to the third word, aim. What is the aim of the Bible? That you may grow. The Bible was written not to satisfy your curiosity, but to help you conform to Christ's image. Not to make you a smarter sinner, but to make you like the Savior. Not to fill your head with a collection of biblical facts, but to transform your life. So the first reason for studying Scripture is that it is a means of spiritual growth. It is God's primary tool to develop you as an individual. The second passage we need to look at is Hebrews 5:11-14. Now concerning Christ, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. The key word in this passage is time. The writer basically tells his readers, when by virtue of the passing time you ought to be entering college, instead you've got to go back to kindergarten and learn your ABCs all over again. When you should be communicating the truth to others as teachers, you still need to have someone to communicate the truth to you. In fact, he says, you still need milk, not solid food. Solid food is for the mature. The writer tells us you are mature if you've trained yourself through constant use of the Scriptures to distinguish good from evil. The mark of spiritual maturity is not how much you understand, but how much you use. In the spiritual realm, the opposite of ignorance is not knowledge, but obedience. The Bible is the divine means of developing spiritual maturity, and this is the second reason Bible study is essential. The third passage is found in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Paul tells us that Scripture is profitable because it will structure your thinking. It reveals God's truth. That's crucial because if you are not thinking correctly, you are not living correctly. What you believe will determine how you behave. The Bible opens up the doors in your life and provides a purifying dynamic to help you clean out the sin and learn to conform to God's will. God uses the Bible to show us how to live, and then having corrected us on the negatives, He gives us positive guidelines to follow as we go through life. Bible study is the primary means to becoming an effective servant of Jesus Christ. The reason God can't use you more than He wants to may well be that you are not prepared. Maybe you've attended church for 5, 10, or even 20 years, but you've never cracked open the Bible to prepare yourself for the effectiveness as His instrument. You've been under the Word, but not in it for yourself. God wants to communicate with you in the 21st century. He wrote His message in a book. He asks you to come and study that book for 3 compelling reasons. It's essential to growth, it's essential to maturity, it's essential to spiritual effectiveness. So the real question confronting you now is this: how can you afford not to be in God's Word? Getting into the Bible on a first-hand basis will revolutionize your life. But as Howard notes, effective Bible study requires a method. By method, he means a strategy, a plan of attack that will yield maximum results for your investment of time and effort. Lacking a method, you can get very frustrated very quickly. Living by the Book presents such a method, and Howard and William clearly outline the costs and benefits of using it. You will find at least 4 major advantages to this approach. The first advantage is you'll find a simple, proven process. The process presented in this book is one that anyone can use, no matter what your level of education or spiritual maturity. It doesn't matter whether you've been in the faith 5 weeks or 5 decades, the principles remain the same. As long as you can read, you can study the Bible. Another plus for this process is that as you grow in knowledge and insight into the Word, this method will keep pace with you. You'll never outgrow it. It's like a set of tools that increase in their usefulness as the skill of the craftsman increases. The second advantage is you'll gain a valuable sense of self-assurance in your ability to handle Scripture. It gives you confidence to think for yourself. Most people don't think. They merely rearrange their prejudices. But it is altogether different, Howard counsels, when you know what the Bible says, where it says it, and what it means. That kind of personal ownership of spiritual truth will free you from the leash of popular opinion. Furthermore, first-hand Bible study enables you to evaluate the thoughts of others. For example, if you find opposing commentaries on a particular passage of Scripture, having a method that helps you work with the biblical text and understand what that text says will allow you to have a basis for evaluating what is being said. The third advantage is you'll experience the joy of personal discovery. Howard assures us that there is no joy comparable to that which comes from first-hand study of the Scripture. To discover for yourself what God has revealed in His Word will send you into the stratosphere with excitement. The fourth advantage is you will deepen your relationship with God. The ultimate benefit of first-hand Bible study is that you will fall in love with the author. You see, it's hard to fall in love by proxy. Sermons, books, commentaries, and so on are wonderful resources for spiritual growth, but they are all second-hand. If you want to know God directly, you need to encounter His Word directly. Yet even Bible study can become an end in itself if you let it be. One of the great problems believers have today is that we often know more about the Scriptures than we know about the God of the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 2:9 tells us, "Eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." God has prepared incredible things for you. The Scriptures are His appointed means of bringing them to you. But there are costs involved, Howard warns. The riches of God are free, but they are not cheap. Bible study places several expectations on you. Let me mention 3. The first cost, openness to study. Scripture does not yield its fruit to the lazy. Like any other discipline of life, Bible study pays off in proportion to how much effort you make. The greater the investment, the greater the reward. Obviously, it will take time. But if your Bible study is productive, if you're making exciting discoveries that you never knew existed, if the process is making a real difference in your life, you're likely to find time for it. Otherwise, you'll always find something else to do. Howard and William are hoping that this book will help you get started in a productive effort so that time becomes the price you're willing to pay in light of the benefits. The second cost, openness to God. The ultimate aim of Bible study is to know God. The question is, do you want to know Him intimately? If so, He promises to honor your diligence in the Word. Notice what Psalms 1:2 says about the person who wants to be blessed by God. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law he meditates day and night. Now everyone wants God's blessing, but are we delighting in His Word and making it a central focus on our mind day and night? The third cost is openness to change. The Bible was written not to be studied, but to change our lives. Yet there is nothing the human heart resists more than change. Spiritual growth, however, is a commitment to change. Romans 8:29, for example, says that God intends to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. In other words, to make us like Christ. If that's true, how much change do you think you can expect? Are you open for that? Are you willing to allow God to invade your character and conduct with His truth? Howard tells us learning to study God's Word properly is a process that doesn't happen overnight. Yet that's exactly what we often do with new followers of Christ when we tell them to get into the Scriptures and the Bible and expect them to take it from there. No wonder so many give up in frustration. Now, while it's impossible in the time we're allotted today to cover everything found in Living by the Book, here is a brief overview of the Bible study process or method presented by Howard and William Hendricks. Let's begin with definition. Howard defines method in Bible study with these three statements. First of all, method is methodicalness. That is, it involves taking certain steps in a certain order to guarantee a certain result. Not just any steps, not just any order, and not just any results. What is the product of methodical Bible study? What are you after? All along, Howard tells us that personal Bible study has a very specific purpose, namely, life change. So then how will we get there? What process will lead to that result? Living by the Book proposes a three-step approach, three critical steps carried out in a particular order. Step 1, observation. In this step, you ask and answer the question, what do I see? The moment you come to a scripture, you ask, what are the facts? You assume the role of a biblical detective looking for clues. No detail is too trivial. This leads to the second step. Step 2, interpretation. Here you ask the question, what does it mean? Your central quest is for meaning. Unfortunately, too much Bible study begins with interpretation and usually ends there. But Howard will show you that it doesn't begin with interpretation, because before you can understand, you have to learn to see. Nor does it end with interpretation, because step 3 is application. Here you ask the question, how does it work? Not, does it work? People say they're going to make the Bible relevant, but if the Bible is not already relevant, nothing you or I do will help. The Bible is relevant, Howard assures us, because it is revealed by God. It's always a return to reality, and for those who need it and heed it, it will change their lives. So method is methodicalness, but Howard adds a second statement to the definition. Method is methodicalness with a view to becoming receptive and reproductive. Do you want to make an impact on your society? Howard asks. First, the scripture has to make an impact on you. When God's Word and a receptive, obedient individual come together, watch out. That's a combination that can transform society. And that's what personal Bible study is designed to do, to transform your life and, as a result, transform your world. A third statement completes our definition. Method is methodicalness with a view to becoming receptive and reproductive by means of first-hand acquaintance with the Word. Once again, nothing can beat prolonged personal exposure to the Bible. It is vital. Without it, you'll never be directly involved with what God has to say. There is no substitute for first-hand exposure to His Word. And while many of us know that, some of you have closed your Bible in frustration, wondering why you don't get more out of your study of the Scripture. Perhaps you've made an honest effort somewhere along the way to sit down and study God's Word. You've heard others talk about mining the riches of Scripture, and you've wanted to grab a few nuggets for yourself. But after pouring a lot of time and energy into the process, things just didn't pan out. Our culture has made a radical shift this century from a word-based society of readers to an image-based society of viewers. As a result, unlike our forefathers of just a few generations ago, we really don't know how to read. To a large extent, we've lost the art. And yet the Bible is a book, which means it must be read to be understood and appreciated. We've got to recapture the skills of reading if we want to become effective Bible students. Living by the book offers great instruction on how to learn to read better and faster. Please don't let a concern about your reading skills keep you from knowing your God and His Word on an intimate, personal level. Of all the books featured here on the Fireside Bookshelf, this is probably the most vital one for everyone to read, because it teaches us how to live by God's book. God has provided an owner's manual for us. He has not left us without a guide for our lives, but it's impossible to apply God's Word until we understand it. And when you haven't studied God's Word for yourself, so that you truly know what you believe and why you believe, it's easy to get caught up in the lies of the world, especially the ones that sound Christian, but actually aren't biblical at all. Things like, people are basically good, God helps those who help themselves, and God's blessings mean I'll never have any problems. Too many churchgoers today are listening, but not learning. They're spectators, not students. They are passive, not participating. And Howard writes, that's because we who teach them often give them cut flowers that easily fade and wilt, rather than showing them how to grow plants for themselves, to discover firsthand the truth that God has revealed in His Word. Of course, that's the purpose of this book, Howard tells us, to introduce you to the joy of getting into the Bible for yourself. There is life-giving power in the Word of God, because it leads us directly to the One who is the way, the truth, and the life. May this book open the door to His book for this generation and all who are to come. Living by the Book by Howard and William Hendricks can generally be found through your local Christian bookstore or online in hardcover, paperback, digital, and audio formats. And one final note from the Fireside Bookshelf. None of the books featured on this program are ever intended to replace the Bible and the need for immersing ourselves in God's Word on a daily basis. We are grateful, however, to be able to benefit from the research and works of others who seek to remain faithful to biblical truth and provide insights to help strengthen and deepen our spiritual walk, and to be able to share those resources with you.
If today's featured book has sparked your interest or addressed an area of concern for you or a friend, we hope you will consider adding a copy to your library of Christian resources. Nowadays, when busyness seems to be our business, we need to return to the lost art of reading so that we will continue learning more of God's Word and His Son, Jesus Christ, the only one who has the power to transform hearts and minds. The Fireside Bookshelf is a ministry of Sharon Hearts and can be heard on this station every Sunday at 4 p.m. Past episodes can be found anytime at www.sharonhearts.org. thank you for joining us, and tune in next week for our next exciting feature here at the Fireside Bookshelf.